love this podcast? Support us by leaving us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Hit the link in the episode description to support us now. Thanks for listening and enjoy. Spotted. Queen Bee Rowe just left the gym. Rumor has it he's working off a few extra desserts he had this past weekend. My sources tell me he's meeting up with Quiet Boy E. This dynamic duo has been holding a grudge against Nikki P. Why? Well, rumor has it that Nikki P hasn't been so into the new royalty in town. And you know how it goes. Heads will roll. Oh, looks like they're about to hop on a call with Nikki P. That could only mean one thing. They're about to spill the tea on New York's elite, past and present. XOXO, Gossip Girl.
Oh, that came so naturally to you.
Of course it came so naturally to me because I have studied the art of gossip.
Have you noticed he actually talks like this most of the time?
He does. I thought it was Kristen Bell for a hot second.
But that's right. If you haven't figured it out, we are talking about Gossip Girl today, and I could not be more excited.
He really can't.
So I'm Rolando.
And I'm Nicole.
And this is Remakes, Reboots, and Revivals.
An original podcast
about unoriginality.
So since 2018, like the inception of this podcast, Rolando has been talking about two episodes that he's wanted to do with this podcast that he crossed his fingers about. One of them being an episode about Friends and the other one being an episode about Gossip Girl. And 2021 is the year of Rolando's dreams coming true because we did a Friends episode earlier in the year and now here we are covering Gossip Girl. I never thought it would happen. And yet, as almost as if it was for Rolando that we're doing this today.
You know what it was? We suffered such a devastating blow in 2020 with COVID. And
yeah.
I didn't get to have my honeymoon that the gods have decided they bestowed this gift upon me. No, that's really making light of the situation. Guys, I'm well aware that like 2020 was shitty for a lot of people. So that's just a joke. I'm sorry if I offended anyone there. But yes, the truth is I am extremely excited that we had a Friends reunion. And this Gossip Girl production has been kind of talked about for like the past couple of years and stuff. And I just thought it would never happen. But yeah, here we are. HBO has blessed us with a new iteration of Gossip Girl.
Yeah, it's crazy that they've been talking about it for a couple of years because the show hasn't been off the air that long.
Yeah, yes. It started in 2007, I think, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And it ran for 6 seasons, so that's
2012.
So 2012 is when it ended, yeah. So, you know, it's not that long ago, so it's less than 10 years.
Less than 10 years.
You know, people, you know what it was? And I guess we'll talk about this, obviously, as we talk about the show. But I think people were just a little bitter about the ending of Gossip Girl that, like, we needed to kind of go back into the story and rectify it.
Oh, there was a poor reception to the ending of Gossip Girl?
Well, I will explain. So yes. Let's get into it. Let's talk about Gossip Girl, CW's darling.
Morning, Upper East Siders. Gossip Girl here. Your one and only source into the scandalous lives of Manhattan's elite. Top story on my homepage, Serena Vanderwoodsen, everybody's favorite it girl, has just returned from a mysterious absence. We've missed you, S. Oh, that's Dan. Looks like his childhood crush has returned. Dream on, lover boy. She is so out of your league.
So, Nicole, what do you know about Gossip Girl?
That it's a CW darling. And
Pretty Little Liar.
Kristen Bell's the narrator.
Kristen Bell is the narrator. She plays the omniscient Gossip Girl.
Yes, so I actually got this confused with another show where I thought that the Gossip Girl was dead and was like looking down on all of the girls who like, and it's like, oh, who murdered her?
But oh, you're okay. That's Pretty Little Liars.
Yep, that's what I'm confusing.
Of the same vein of Gossip Girl, I believe it came out in the same era. I actually loved Pretty Little Liars also because that had that omniscient narrator who was very much like Desperate Housewives.
Yeah.
So, and I love, but that's also why I love Gossip Girl, right? I actually, Here's a little fun fact about me, guys. I love a show with an omniscient narrator. I feel like when done right, and that's the key word, when done, that's the key phrase there, when done right, it's so good. And there's so few instances. I think the ones that come to mind are Pushing Daisies and Desperate Housewives. And then I would say Gossip Girl is the other one that kind of falls into that vein of like an omniscient.
Not Arrested Development?
Oh, Arrested Development is another great example of great narration. Yes, that's another one. He has like a very godlike voice in his in the way he delivers all his facts and stuff. So yeah, so I tend to gravitate towards shows that have a very well executed narrator. Gossip Girl is one of those shows. So, but what else do you know about Gossip Girl outside of Kristen Bell?
That's about it. I knew Blake Lively was in it. I didn't even really like. I only just recently got familiar with the male cast. It's names that I've heard, faces that I've seen, but never really was able to put, you know, one next to the other and associate it. So honestly, not that much.
Okay. All right. That's fine. I mean, I am here to spill the tea. I'm here to give you the gossip on Gossip Girl.
Yes. Give me the bonchinche.
So Gossip Girl is a show. It was developed by Jason Schwartz. And for those of you guys who do gravitate towards this genre of television, you would know that his name is most famous for The OC, which is another one of my favorite teen dramas. And I think The OC is kind of the granddaddy of this idea of like, let's follow rich people and all their societal problems, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And you know, The OC takes place in California, and then they bring Gossip Girl. That one takes place in New York City. And it follows two main characters, Serena and Blair, right? I want to say Blair is her name.
Yeah, Blair.
Okay, so Serena and Blair. So Blair, they're besties. However, they have a little bit of a falling off, especially after Serena disappeared for a year to go off to boarding school. And therefore making Blair the it girl. And when Serena returns, she brings with her a whole slew of problems. First of all, Blair's boyfriend reveals that he slept with her.
Mm-hmm.
And
he's totally in love with her.
And he is totally in love with her. And Serena also, she left for scandalous reasons, which as you progress into the first season, you'll know. And she also develops a relationship with Dan Humphrey. She is also kind of dealing with the fact that her mother is dating Chuck Bass's father. Chuck Bass is kind of the, in season one, I would say he's like the main antagonist. He's kind of like the, kind of a shithead. So if you saw the pilot, he's the one who tried to rape Dan's sister.
Yep.
And I don't know how, explain to me how he ends up becoming one of the main characters of the series, but
yeah,
that's
not
what
cool.
happens.
Not cool.
No, it's not cool at all. And then you have Nate Archibald, who I was convinced was a homosexual based off of his face. I hate to say it. It's a thing. Gay face. And tell me not, Nicole. Tell me you don't watch that. You're just like gay. Gay.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that. But I mean, you know.
Of course you can't. Yeah. The rumors were really vicious around him because the gay community, the bloggers, were convinced that him and Ed Westwick, the guy who plays Chuck, were in a gay relationship. And they had all these like theories and evidence to prove that these two actors were, in fact, closeted gay men.
Wow. Yeah.
Yes,
probably.
Yes, yes. Maybe. Who knows? And no judgment. They were, so this cast, gorgeous. I mean, let's talk about Blake Lively, like stunning, absolutely stunning. And then you're watching this show and you're thinking, it's just like, how are these adults supposed to be portraying teenagers? Because it's supposed to be like 16, I think, in the show.
Yeah, it wasn't really clear what grade they were in.
They were like, I think they're juniors, maybe. So absurd, absolute absurdity, but beautiful cast. I think the only male that I found attractive was actually Penn Badgley, who plays Dan Humphrey. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know who Gossip Girl is?
I do, but before I tell you that, I think you were going to say this, and I'll, you know, piggyback off of you, is that the main thing is that they're all white. And
no,
that,
they are all white, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
and they're
New York City elite, obviously, they're all white.
At least from what I saw, though, like, there's other friends who aren't white, but they're very much like wallpaper. At least in what I saw.
Yeah. You're talking about like some of the click friends?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't even think they have names.
They don't have names. They're clearly just minions. And they're there to be like, oh, hey, here's an Asian. Here's a black person. I didn't see any Latinos or anything like that.
No. I think the only requirement was just like, you need to be skinny and fit into these outfits.
That would be
the requirement to be a castmate.
So for me, when I first started watching it, it was hard for me, especially the guys, to tell them apart because they're all white. And I was just like, okay, who's this now? Whose dad is this now? What's the dynamic here?
That's like so racist. They all have different color hair.
Yeah, I apologize for that.
That should be the way you differentiate them.
It was hard for me to keep up because, you know, it was just a lot of white people. I'm sorry.
There are. I mean, yeah, I want to say that might have been, I feel like people did call that out during the show's run, but I don't think Gossip Girl did anything about it.
Yeah. I didn't have that problem with the girls. It was more so the guys. I don't know. I think Nate and Bruce, what's his
Chuck?
Name? Chuck. I think Chuck. They look a lot alike. Like, come on, they're practically twins, which is probably why they did fall in love with each other, because we all know that gay people, mm-hmm. you know, go for people who look like them.
I mean, it's a thing, you know?
It is a thing. I'm not like that. And Rolando, I wouldn't say you're kind of like that, you know, like Eddie is quite the opposite of you.
Yeah, but I mean, outside of the fact they're both Hispanic, I don't think that's, I feel like, where the similarities end. Eddie, yeah. Do you agree or disagree?
I agree.
Okay, and maybe some of our hobbies tend to be the same thing.
Yeah, as gay people, say this, so.
Yes, Eddie is here too, guys. I'm sorry, I forgot to introduce him. I'm running the ship on this one because this is
your
my
show,
calling.
Yeah.
And as usual, I have dropped the ball yet again. So sorry, guys, if this episode's a little bit of a mess. but yeah, so this show aired on the CW. It ran for 6 seasons. I'm going to be upfront with everyone. I only really saw the first season. I didn't even see it consistently because I was well into college. I was only watching it because the concept of a blogger who blogs about these rich elite children kind of appeal to me. And if you don't know this about me, or if I have any college friends who are listening out there, you guys would know that I loved to fucking stir the pot in college. You know, I loved gossip and stuff. And I remember one of the girls in one of the sororities, basically after the show had come out, she's just like, oh my God, you're like our Gossip Girl. Except I didn't have a blog or Twitter, you know, like I was just fucking doing it. I tried to do it at 1 year at one point. Yeah. I tried to become the William Patterson Whisperer. That didn't stick. But across Willie P and Stop and Shop where I worked, like you will find like these little, if they still exist there, like on permanent marker, who is the Willie P Whisperer? I don't think anyone cared though. I didn't go viral, sadly. but yeah. And like I said, this show really just follows these rich teenagers and a lot of their woes and stuff. And, That's it. That's all I can really explain about the show. But I don't know, Nicole, I'm assuming you've never seen this show, right?
Yeah. When this came out, I had just graduated high school and like went, you know, to film school. So I was very much against watching something like this. It just, you know.
Against?
Yeah. Well, you don't go to film school to learn how to make a show like Gossip Girl. I don't think you do. Maybe some people.
Hang on. All right. So there you go. I'm glad you said that because my goals in college was to create a show like Gossip Girl or The OC or eventually Pretty Little Liars. That came out after I was done with college. But yeah, this is what I felt was my calling. I was just like, oh, this for me is art in a way. I feel like there has to be like a level of writing that you have to do, and you have to have a respect for kind of the teen tropes. And I don't know. I think it's such an art form. I love teen soap operas. That's why I watch Riverdale. And Riverdale is one of my favorite teen soaps right now. I know I'm not the target demo, but that show is so ridiculous that...
I think you're the target demo.
I would say so.
Gay, yeah.
Yeah, this is your genre. This is your thing.
Maybe. Like, maybe these shows just appeal to gays. But I think... I don't know. Like, so... For one of my courses was a TV writing course. One of the things that I did was I wrote a pilot in the vein of a teen, of a soapy teen. And I was basing it more or less off of my life, a dramatized version of my life, but it was related about Greek life. And there was obviously a murder, drugs, and everything, not things that I experienced in my fraternity, but, you know, it doesn't matter. It's about, there's a fantasy element to these shows, and that's what I love about them.
That's true, so, yeah. It's very all fantastical. Mm-hmm. It definitely glorifies this kind of lifestyle.
It does. It's just, yeah, I feel like it tries to, like, kind of, like, wag its finger, but it does such a poor job of, like, doing that it just ends up feeling.
Yeah, yeah. At times it's like, okay, this is where we critique it and this is where we think it's bad, but then it, like, puts it in slow motion and has a really cool soundtrack to it, so it's like, but is this bad? Like, you kind of you still want to live this life, right? Like,
right.
That's what the show, the show's main goal is for you to, like, envy these people and want to be these people. Even though the show does also say, like, oh, these kids, you know, even though they're fucking, they're really privileged, you know, like, their parents pretty much tell them what to do with their life, right? Like, the main character, Blair and Nate, are expected to be with each other. It's not even about them being in love. It's like their duty as, you know, their parents' children.
Yep.
You know, Serena's younger brother tried to commit suicide. Like, they're unhappy, you know, they're neglected. Their parents have their heads up their assholes and they're kind of lost and stuff. But how much can you feel bad for people who also, like, get driven in limos to their private parties?
That's what I actually liked about this show. When I rewatched the first episode, I was just like, wait, they're on the bus. I thought that they were, like, living luxuriously. The first episode, the main guys are in the bus. Now that changes. Like,
that's
I think season two, once the budget goes up, because ratings wise for a CW show, this show actually did very well in the ratings early in its run. I think it peaked in season two, according to this article here on Wikipedia. Yeah, it peaked with 2.8 million viewers, which is actually pretty good for the CW. The CW is just notorious for just terrible ratings.
Yeah.
But season one, its average viewer was 2.6, right? And it was a decline from there. I think by the end of the series run, it was under a million.
Wow, yeah, look at that. Because
it's just like, well, go ahead.
Well, yeah, I feel like in 2007, right, this was a more timely show. By 2012, I think that it wasn't really, like, something that people probably resonated with anymore. I think by the 2010s and by iPhones taking over, because, like, the phones that they use at the beginning of the series, you know, like the flip phones and the Blackberries and all those stuff. And then, like, with technology just, like, getting so far advanced, I also feel like in the early 2000s, catfishing was huge at first, and, like, it was a huge problem, and, like, you know, like, trolling is still a problem, but, like, after a while, people just kind of got used to it, and then, like, you know, the allure of it all was just, like, oh my god, six seasons, and people still don't know who the fuck Gossip Girl is, like, you know, roll eyes.
Roll eyes indeed, and, yeah, no, I think part of the problem with this is, like, shows that start off in high school, they tend to like not know what to do once they graduate high school.
Yeah.
Because usually for college, it's a little farcical when everyone goes to the same school, right? Like, we had that problem with Boy Meets World, remember?
And Saved by the
Bell. Saved by the Bell, yeah. It's just like they all ended up in the same school, and it's just like, okay, but that's, you know, these kids had dreams and hopes and aspirations. And this show tried to do that, right? They split everyone up. And that's also when people start losing interest, because it's just like part of the reason that you watch these shows is to see this core group of people interact with each other.
Exactly. There's, like, this great gag on a Futurama episode where they're like, there's a show and they have to, like, fake the ending of it, and they try and do something, like, really left field, and they're like, no, 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 you have to keep it as simple as possible because people don't like too much change. Unfortunately,
you're thinking of the Sexy Lawyer show, right?
Yeah. So Sexy Female Lawyer, or Single Female Lawyer. That's exactly the episode, but it's right. Like, the moment you could name any show, and, you know, that term of jumping the shark, it's when there's a dynamic that has changed that people just don't even like it anymore, you know, because people don't like change. Like, people like the familiar. You know, that's why people like to rewatch things too, because it's familiar, they're comfortable with it, and all that stuff.
No, I agree. Although I've always had a problem after I did some research on that term, jumping the shark, because after Fonzie famously jumped the shark, literally, on Happy Days, everyone says that was, like, the beginning of the end of the series, but I think the show lasted, like, another 3 years after that, so it wasn't, like, that
swift of an
ending.
Well, yeah, but just because it lasted for 3 years doesn't mean it was good.
Does All right. So you think Jumping the Shark is more about the quality of the show?
Yes.
Okay. I always assumed Jumping the Shark was more about the ratings. And
the audience
like wanes, and as a result of the bad writing, it dips.
I'm pretty sure Jumping the Shark, and let's look it up just to be sure, is more so about like when the show changes and everyone says the show starts sucking.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Jumping the Shark is an idiom used to describe the moment of a misguided attempt at generating new publicity for something once, but no longer was widely popular. The attempt serves instead to highlight the irrelevance of what it intends to promote. This is especially applicable to television series or other entertainment outlets.
Okay, interesting. Got it. So, yeah, it's more about trying to do something shocking or something so crazy that it helps to garner attention.
Yes.
But as a result, it usually just makes a mockery of the show. I think Gossip Girl had that because there was one season where Hilary Duff came in and the big talk was just like she had a threesome with Dan Humphries, you know, and it's just like because Hilary Duff it's Hilary Duff, right? She's like the little Disney Channel starlet. So that was supposed to be the big controversy. But I think by then the ratings were already.
Yeah, nobody cared.
Tanking. Yeah. You know, but I'm glad that you pointed out the rise of social media, because I think that's also part of the reason that contributed to the fall of this show, because when the show premieres, Facebook is still, I think Facebook might have been not widely available, but it still wasn't like a big thing yet. You know what I mean? And as social media developed, like the idea of people reading a blog just didn't seem like it makes sense anymore.
Oh, interesting. Right? That's true. Yeah. They reference that in the new one too. Like, oh, a blog. I haven't seen that in a million years. So yeah.
Right.
I mean, unfortunately, too, when your show is so heavily around like technology that people are using currently, you can date yourself really quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was a risk that they ran, and I think it's a show that should have ended probably. Like I said, I only saw the first season. I watched the ending of the series to see. I knew who Gossip Girl was, but I wanted to see like, all right, but how did the show wrap this up? And did you get a chance to see that episode or no?
I did. I went to I didn't understand what the hell was going on because I went from the first episode to the season.
Chuck's dad died. And I was just like, oh, okay. And then like Chuck.
Yeah, and all
Blair.
Of a sudden Chuck, yeah, is a good guy. Like, why are we rooting for him to be with, you know, Blair?
Right. That is a big shock. If you've only seen the pilot and then you fast forward to the ending, it's just like, wait, why are we rooting for Chuck and Blair to be together?
Yeah.
But people have been rooting for those two to be together since season one, I think. Yeah,
that's gross. Why?
I would agree.
He's a fucking predator.
He is. I agree. He is a predator, but like, I don't know. He's swarmy, I guess, and I guess that appeals to teenage girls.
That's awful. That is awful because then that's also like he could take advantage, and that's like also the message that it's coming across. It's like, oh, you want?
I don't disagree.
I hear you. Nico. So cute.
He's just like, he doesn't agree with us. He's like, he also stands Blair.
Yeah.
And
well, the show doesn't do the best job of completely condemning him. Like, yeah, he's somewhat of an antagonist, but I think that, I don't know. I mean, yeah, like Serena was like, get off me and all this stuff. And it was so problematic when he was like trying to force himself on her.
Jenny. He was forcing himself on Jenny.
No, but he's first tried to force himself on Serena. In that episode. And that's why. Yeah. And that's why.
You're right. Yes.
Yeah. And when she was on her date with Dan and she's like, and he's like, oh, she's having some trouble with some guy named Chuck. She's like, oh, yeah, no, we have to go to this party right now.
Right.
Yeah. You're in danger, girl.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know. I guess the fact that he becomes like, you know, not a antagonist and actually one of the main characters that you root for and want him to be in love with to me is just kind of. Bizarre, and I don't know. That makes me feel uncomfortable.
As it should when you're critiquing the show, especially one that's like intended for teens. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that is definitely problematic. I don't think I should have mentioned this earlier, but this series is based off of a series of novelettes for teenagers, and they're not. I don't even think they're named Gossip Girl. I think they're named like something else.
No, they're named Gossip Girl.
They are named Gossip Girl.
I mean, each book has a different name, but it's the Gossip Girl series.
Got it. Okay, so but the Gossip Girl series. But yeah, I just don't think it was. I don't know. I don't know how swarmy he is in the book series, but the Chuck that we got, I think, was very, very problematic. I mean, he drugs people. He's talking about, like, drinking. I mean, and the other thing about the show is, like, they're all underage and they're always just drinking.
Yep.
Like, do you remember that first episode? Like, the Blair and Serena are just, like, at a bar just drinking martinis. Like, and it's just like, in what world? In what world?
Yeah, it teaches you that when you're rich, you can get away with anything, you know?
Which is, but that message gets lost because, like, it glamorizes it.
It does glamorize it. Absolutely. You know what
I mean? Like, it's not like, it's like, yeah, like, I understand the show is saying, it's like, oh my God, look, these rich people can do whatever they want. But it's just like, but it's not condemning them.
Yep. Yeah. That's another bad thing. I looked up Chuck. Chuck is not as much of a main character in the novel series. He is an antagonist, but I think as a character, they kind of like write him off. And I'm sure that they expanded his role because he's such a good looking fellow. And that is problematic within itself. You know, it's like, oh, you know, well, everyone will forgive him because he's so charming. That's like how people thought about Ted Bundy. Like, you know, like looks.
That's true. Interesting you should say that he's handsome. I actually, when the show came out, I never thought he was attractive. However, now, 10 years later, however long it's been, I was watching him just like, oh, I guess I didn't get back. I guess he is handsome.
Yeah. I mean, I guess so. But also, side note, in like 2000, I guess the mid 2000s, what was with the fact that all those boys had those haircuts? I'm thinking about like the love interest in Mean Girls. These guys in Gossip Girl, they all had like that Beatles moppy hair.
I think it was like part of the, I think it was like a remnant of like the emo hairstyle that like got co-opted by popular kids and like kind of just changed. But more or less, like, I mean, the emo kids were like, they were always about like flat ironing their hair and kind of like, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I feel like then the popular kids were just like, okay, let's just do some, let's elevate it. That's my theory.
That's a good theory. I just noticed it's a trend in all the boys. I just don't like that haircut on boys personally.
Yeah, I agree. Oh, which reminds me, you mentioned Mean Girls. So here's another shocker that I discovered today. Or actually, I discovered it yesterday when doing research for this episode. Before this show got piloted or greenlit, this was a movie in development.
With Lindsay Lohan?
Lindsay Lohan, obviously. Do you know who she was going to play?
I'm going to guess Blair.
Yes, she was going to play Blair. And I find that interesting in retrospect because, like, oh, that means she wouldn't be the main character. She would be almost the frenemy, the second in command, because, like, this is all really Serena's story. Do you know who was attached to writing it?
Not Tina Fey.
No, not Tina Fey.
No, I don't know who was attached to writing it.
It was Amy Sheridan Palladino.
Oh, of Gilmore Girls and Gilmore Girls Mrs. Maisel fame.
Yes, and what a big what if. Like, what if this actually became a movie? I enjoyed season one, but, like, let's be real. A teen movie following Lindsay Lohan written by Amy Sheridan Palladino could have been...
That could have been great.
That could have been the mother of all teen movies.
Yeah, seriously. Oh, man, so, it would have been a way different thing, too.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I feel like they would have gone more of a dark comedy route, which you could easily go with this property, you know?
No, absolutely, like, yeah.
And there, you know how we're critiquing the show for not really condemning the actions of these rich white kids?
Yeah.
I feel like that writer, in more competent hands, this show could have gotten the critique across much more.
Absolutely.
Fluently.
Absolutely. Yeah. I wouldn't have glamorized it at all either. So, you know, but it's, now that you say that, all I want to do is see this film, you know, sucks, but whatever.
You want to travel to that alternate universe where this actually got, actually happened. And it's just like, what could have been? I feel like the Man of the High Castle, right? Like, I want to see that movie and just be like, the world changed for the better.
Put me back in that world where the Berenstain Bears are spelt with an E and not with an A. Mandela effect. But yeah, so to answer the question that you've asked me a couple times and I haven't answered yes, I somehow knew who Gossip Girl was without ever watching the show. But I guess maybe my ex told me, I'm not really sure, but I knew that it was, spoiler alert, Dan Humphrey. And when I watched the first episode, I was like, I feel like they knew too, because it was almost setting it up that, you know, he was Gossip Girl from episode one.
So interestingly enough, there was actually a scene that almost spilled the beans that it was going to be Dan Humphrey's.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm left to wonder, would this show be better off if the audience had known it was Dan? Because as part of the mystery of the show, it's like, oh, who is Gossip Girl? But the truth is, the show really didn't, it wasn't always hunting down who's Gossip Girl. It just wasn't.
Yeah.
Like, it was only whenever, Gossip Girl is really just a plot device who just propels the story forward with narration. Mm. But for the most part, there wasn't like this real hostility towards Gossip Girl, at least that I remember. Like, if anything, the real hostility comes from the character played by Michelle Trachtenberg. I don't know if you got to see any episodes with her.
I saw Georgette. Her in the season finale, but like, I didn't know what she was doing there.
Okay, so Georgette, let me tell you guys about Georgette. And do you know the reason why Serena leaves New York?
No.
Okay, the reason she leaves New York is because after she slept with Nate, feeling down on herself, Georgette was a party girl, and she was kind of going through this turbulent time, like partying and like being a bad girl, very much like Lindsay Lohan. And Georgette brings another guy around to have a threesome with her, as all teenagers do. But Blair wasn't into it. So this poor guy ends up ODing. And now Blair feels responsible for this.
He OD'd because she wouldn't have sex with him?
Because he couldn't have the threesome. I think Georgette did have sex with him.
Oh my God.
So stupid. Absolutely ridiculous.
A similar thing happened to me, actually, in my life.
I mean, I think all teenagers have gone through this where, like, a friend you turn down for a threesome ODs.
And it's ends just up like, ODing, what? Yeah.
Like, This is the life lessons that teenagers need to know how to deal with. And obviously, the solution is to run off to go to a boarding school because we can all afford boarding school.
Yeah, seriously, right? Even, like, apparently she did that by herself. She didn't even need, like, her mother. Even her mother was like, well, you run off. So
yeah, I was telling Eddie about this scene. I actually told Eddie mistakenly that I thought it was a season finale, but no, I think it was a mid-season finale where Serena is crying to Blair, and Blair's like, what's wrong with you? And she's like, I killed a man. And what a cliffhanger. I remember it was just like, what? And I had to find out obviously what happens next, because you know, because Georgette had been kind of leaking the details little by little. But yeah, so no, Dan Humphries is Gossip Girl. If you watch the show now, like I said, I only watched season one. Occasionally, maybe if it was on the CW, I would like, and I had nothing to do, I'd watch an episode. Lost, but there were many times where it just doesn't make sense that Dan was Gossip Girl, because there's literal times where he's walking around and he's getting the breaking news just as it's breaking. It's just like, well, if he's Gossip Girl, why isn't, like, what is he plotting this? And more importantly, why? If the writers knew that it was going to be Dan Humphries, they should have done a better job of making it all point to him, when there were many instances where it just didn't point to him. Also, he was very mean on his sister, Jenny.
Oh, okay. Like, there you go.
He slut-shamed the shit out of her, you know?
Didn't they address that in the season finale? And he was like, hey, Jenny wanted me to say those things.
That's what I mean. That's one of those things. It's just like, well, how do you explain that? It's just like, no, Jenny was okay with it. It's like, no fucking way. Those are the writers were coming up with a deus ex machina. You got to see in the series finale, you saw Mayor Bill de Blasio. Are you aware that Mayor Bill de Blasio was an actual fan of Gossip Girl? Like a Fairweather fan, but he was a fan of the show.
Wow.
And as a result, there is a Gossip Girl Day in New York City once a year.
Oh my God.
And I don't know any other TV show that has this legacy.
I'm just going to say no comment. I have nothing to say to that.
So knowing that a former mayor of New York City loved this show so much, it was only a matter of time before a studio was just like, you know what? Let's just bring Gossip Girl back.
And here we are.
Here we are in 2021 with Gossip Girl on HBO Max.
Did you miss me? I know I've missed you.
Gossip Girl, an anonymous Instagram account that spies on our students.
This just in. There's a big secret amongst the ruling class at Constance Villard.
Why is Gossip Girl out to get us?
I'm not just known, I'm influential. And I can't have that taken away from me.
Privilege and power will always win in the end.
Maids come around too much.
XOXO.
Parents ain't around enough.
Gossip Girl.
Mm-hmm. So, I've been talking a lot here. Eddie or Nicole, does anyone want to give a summary of what Gossip Girl 2021 is?
Oh, it's the same show. We're at the same school, Constant Billiard, but now it's a new generation. And it's actually a shared universe, right? Because these characters who are now inhabiting the halls of Constant Billiard actually echo back to the days of Blair and Serena and Dan. This school is run by pretty much this queen bee named Julian, and she's a social media influencer. Mm-hmm. And her influence is so strong that even the teachers are scared of her and her minions. That consist of Kate, her boyfriend Obi, a friend named Max, Aubrey and her boyfriend Aki. And I think those are the main ones, right? Am I missing anyone else?
Which one's the gay guy?
That's Max.
Okay, that's Max. Okay.
The pansexual.
I think you forgot Luna and...
Luna La and Zoya.
Well, Zoya is her sister.
And then Julian.
Yeah, Julian.
Okay.
Audrey Holt. Audrey. Yeah, yeah, no, you got him.
Yeah,
all.
No, I got him. Okay.
Outside of Luna.
And Luna. And in this world, Julian has a sister who just came to Constant Billiard on a scholarship. And for some reason, you know.
A half sister.
Half sister. And I guess, you know, Julian wants her friends to accept Zoya for who she is and into their friend group, but she can't simply doing that by being like, hey, here's my half-sister. She has to concoct this whole scheme, and it's really bizarre and doesn't make any sense to me. On the other side, on the other side of it, the teachers are all, you know, like, they're scared. These kids rule the school, you know, like, they're pretty much like, they work for the students. And having had enough of this, they think back to the days of Dan Humphrey and his Gossip Girl, and they decide that they're going to revive Gossip Girl to punish their students for some reason and be really unprofessional teachers. And that's pretty much my summary of this new Gossip Girl.
Can you explain, like, your understanding of what their actual plan would be? Like, what did they hope to accomplish?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I really have no idea.
In defense of this convoluted storyline, because it is a little convoluted.
It's incredibly convoluted.
I think the teachers believe that Gossip Girl as an entity is so scary that it kind of focuses all the rich kids' attention to this one being. And as a result, they're now more careful about how they behave, about how they talk, because Gossip Girl is always watching. And at least that's what I got from the teachers meeting in episode 3, which makes a little bit of sense. I agree with you, Eddie. Like,
I didn't even say anything yet.
The logic is flawed. No, I was saying it makes no sense. Like, okay, what were you going to say, Eddie?
All right, because I believe this absolutely makes no sense.
Yeah, it makes no sense.
It makes no sense because offhand, how is Gossip Girl going to adjust the behavior of a person who doesn't want to do their homework, doesn't want to turn in the assignment? What is it about Gossip Girl that's going to make kids participate, right? So, like, if you're just, like, a typical kid that doesn't want to do their shit and know that their daddy or their mom can make a phone call and make sure they get an A or a passing grade or make sure that they get a place in whatever Ivy League university that they want, why would Gossip Girl turn the tides and give power to the teachers?
Because we saw what was happening. Because we saw at least the attitude shift in the students at the end of episode 1.
Which made sense, by the way.
Yeah, because it made no sense. It's like saying, okay, A is going to lead to B, but we still don't understand what is it about A leading to B. We're still getting the result of B,
yep.
Right? And we know what A is. But how does that one connect to the other?
Yeah, right. It doesn't make any sense.
I think you guys have forgotten that these shows are all pure fantasy.
No.
All right, because the moment the show starts, I love the idea of this, like students rule, teachers are, like, so afraid, and stuff like that. And so I love the fact of, like, saying enough is enough, right? Totally, like, we're going to turn the tables and we're going to do this deceptive way, right? So I thought that was very interesting, right? But then they said, oh, we're going to do it this way. I'm like, but how does this work exactly? How does this work? And then another thing is, if you're so, I'm trying to understand this. I maybe have no idea of teachers in their working in these kind of schools, these private or elite schools. But if the comment is made that you make less money by working in this compared to working for the Board of Education of New York City, right? So if you make less money working at these private schools, where you could work at the Board of Education, who absolutely need teachers. They need teachers so badly, right? So it wouldn't be impossible to get a job, right, for the Board of Ed and work in the public school system and make more money. But here they are feeling terrified every day. And also there's this thing like, if you get fired, that's it. You're ruined. You can't be a teacher anymore. No one can find a job after being fired from this school.
Right.
So, it's like, what is it with these? And it's like, I love the remark is, I just want to make sure that we do this so they could become the Obamas of the future.
Yeah, it's true. The stupidest fucking thing in the world.
Have you don't know? Do you not know your student body?
Yeah. Well, not only that, but it's trying to correct, you know, this dynamic in high school where it's more so about the social hierarchy and that it's less about learning, you know, but it's also more so just like a power thing. You know, they just want their power back. And instead of actually trying to correct the fact that, you know, high school is just a social hierarchy, they're actually adding to it and they're engaging with it. You know, they're not being adults. They're not being anything. They're like giving into this terrible behavior that at the end of the day are being done by 15 and 16 year olds. They're 30 year olds who are taking pictures of 16 and 15 year olds through their windows and then drinking wine. Yeah. 14 year olds.
Zoya's 14.
And yeah.
This teacher was taking pictures of her getting undressed. Okay.
Way to make it sound like he is perving on it.
That is what he's doing. He's perving. He knew it too when he went to her house.
There is total there comes to a point where it's like, where's your morality?
Yeah. Well, no, I can't get behind that.
I know you have a plan. I know you're with a group and to get, you know, we need to get the tea so we can use this for Gossip Girl. But there has to be a line where you're like, hey, you know what? I'm not gonna go this far. This is where I draw the line, all right? Maybe like, talking about so-and-so fighting with so-and-so, that's one thing. But when you're taking pictures of little girls?
Yeah.
Young women getting undressed, then we have a problem. We have a problem here.
This show, I feel like, is going for shock factor, to be honest.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, for sure. Okay, I just want to just point out one thing. Would you guys have less beef if, instead of this convoluted plan, it was just literally about teachers bringing Gossip Girl back just to be fucking petty?
Yeah, I guess maybe if they lived in their truth better, yeah.
Yeah, because it's still, that would make, so, like, this is their way of taking back power.
All right.
Yeah. Taking back power. It's almost like revenge.
Yeah, yeah, no. I would agree. All right,
if you're gonna be petty, be openly petty. Don't do it in the name of anything else.
I agree. I actually think the show would be a lot more successful if, instead of taking this, like, we're gonna take our power back, just bring back Gossip Girl just to like be petty and like really fuck these students who are like, you know, lording their power over their head, right?
Absolutely.
That I think would make a much more intriguing storyline for sure. But I mean, I think your criticism, so I think I'm glad you guys are starting with the teachers, because I think that for me, that's the most interesting part about this show, because I obviously grew up with this show more or less when, I was out of high school, but I was in college, right? Which is just like high school, but with alcohol. This, which as I found out is Gossip Girl. But here, there was, me being the age I am now, knowing like some people who are teachers in real life, it's just like I am looking at the show more so through the eyes of the teacher. And, you know, I'm me wondering, it's just like, wow, if I was a teacher in the school, would I do this? And I was like, of course I would. I would in a heartbeat become Gossip Girl. And you know what? I would use this like try to explain to myself as just like, I am the morality police. I am bringing back order. But in reality, and I think this is where the show will go. I can't speak to it. We've only seen 3 episodes of the show, but I feel like this is what's going to be the reveal, where our main teacher, who I think is like a Claire Danes knockoff, sorry, no offense, but that's what I think a lot of this cast is, like knockoffs of like other prominent actors, like they're the cheap versions of them. Claire Danes being this one. I think it's going to be revealed that she's just petty, and I think she is just hurt, and this is her way of lashing out on these students without having to physically lash out. Maybe. Which I think would make a more compelling story, and I suspect that is where ultimately these teachers' storyline is going to go.
Okay. The only thing that I see it going with, I mean, I don't think anything about this is compelling, to be honest. I think so much of it does not make sense. Oh. So much of it is just like fault, like created drama just for the sake of drama. But then it's also when you try and like think about it logically, you're just kind of like, wait, what? In particular, in relation with Julian and Zoya, you know, just like, okay, to me, none of that dynamic makes sense. And then even like the harsh, you know, like reactions to one another, other than the dick pic getting sent throughout the fashion show, all the rest of it was just kind of like, why is everyone reacting this way? Why are her friends so against her? Like, what is going on? None of this makes sense. You know, why are these people just so nasty? They're not actually given any positive characteristics.
I don't disagree, but I think because of the genre, right? And I think you also, you have to remember, this is like a genre teen soaps. Like, it's all about...
The original Gossip Girl succeeded at this, though,
It succeeded in what?
Okay, so it actually was able to give positive, except for maybe Chuck, positive traits to each of the characters, right? And their reactions and their motives were clear.
I'm trying to think of like, I mean, I guess Serena hiding the fact that she may have murdered someone, I guess that would explain a lot of her actions.
Yeah, but even like, even though like, why was Blair so unhappy, you know, like, and why were they frenemies, you know, in their relationship? That made sense.
Right.
Her and Serena, you know, we are introduced to that show of them being frenemies, but you get it. The relationship between Julian and Zoya doesn't make any sense. It doesn't. It really doesn't. And the reason for her to not just have like introduce Zoya into her family also doesn't make sense. All of these like secrets and lies and these like false narratives that these people are doing, it doesn't, none of it makes sense.
Can I just say that I maybe on some level I related to Julian's plan, because when I play Dungeons and Dragons, I'm the one who always comes up with these like crazy schemes, right? And that's what Julian was doing. So Julian, all right, here we go. Uh-huh. Julian and Zoya are half sisters. They have a relationship strictly right as of the beginning of the show. Their relationship was a secret, and they'd only communicated via online messenger or over the phone.
Yeah.
Julian, her father is a benefactor of the school, and he has like an art scholarship that she manipulated so that way Zoya could get the scholarship and have to move from Buffalo to New York City. Right. All right. So that all tracks. Now, why? So my guess here is that the scandal of Julian's father, who is a rich producer, getting left by his woman and then having a new family, would be such drama in this social circle that that would explain as to why Julian would keep Zoya a secret.
Yeah, so that's what we're told to believe, right? We don't actually see any of it. We don't even meet Julian's father. So we're told it. We don't see it.
We meet Julian's father. Later on.
In the beginning when
did you only just see the first episode, Nicole?
Yeah, but at the same time, like, that's my introduction to the show.
Yeah.
That's okay, me trying to sympathize and get to know these characters and their stories. And they did not give that to me. I was told all of this.
That's not true. We're told it. There is a lot of exposition dumping.
Yes.
I won't lie about that. I don't know. I feel like the plan, it doesn't make the most sense, but you know what? I'm going to just say it. Like, yeah, I'm literally just watching this show for the shock value, because you know what? I didn't have the balls to watch Euphoria, but this is what I feel like is soft Euphoria. This is, I mean, I think sometimes the sex scenes are a little bit too grotesque, in my opinion. This is like, they're supposed to be teenagers. So I think this
is why do I want to watch teenagers have sex?
Like, yeah, like there's like an oral scene between one of the girls. Oh, no. Yeah. There's an actual sex scene and stuff. And then there's like episode two, the girl's going down on the guy. And like, we basically see that she's about to give him a rim job. And that makes everything uncomfortable for everybody, including the audience.
Gross. It's soft porn at that point.
The audience, as me as the viewer, I'm just like, this, they're like, they're 16. This is so inappropriate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
it's just like Julian's like, all right, here's this elaborate thing that we're going to act out for you to become my friend because none of my friends will accept you for some fucking reason. You know, that fails. And then everyone, you know, is either butthurt about being lied to or being put into Julian's game. And then for her, and then Julian and Z talk again and they're like, it's okay. Here's the next elaborate plan that we're going to do in order to get you in. And then, because she comes up with another elaborate plan that where they're all lying to each other and it's all fucking convoluted. The friends come up with an elaborate plan. Everyone's just like deceiving each other, but it's also like so much that you're just confused as to what's actually going on. And maybe that's a good thing. Maybe it's saying that everyone's so vapid and living in lies and convoluted, like made up narratives. You know, maybe that's a critique. I don't think so. I think the show was also just more so trying to be, like we said, going for shock factor and trying to be dramatic to the point where it was so over the top and not effective, in my opinion.
Well, I will agree with this. I understood the first part of their plan, which was how I understood why they can't like pretend like, oh, we know each other, we love each other. The second part of the plan of like how we're gonna mend these broken relationships all of a sudden, that part made a lot less sense to me. But part of that, keep in mind, the part of the reason for the blow up though is because of the emergence of Gossip Girl.
Yeah,
Gossip Girl.
But everyone was more upset because they were lied to.
They were up. They were No. They're not upset that they were lied to. I think they were more upset about how they found out, which is part of the reason, like the lying too.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? Like they found out through Gossip Girl on an Instagram post. That's what they're more upset about, right? They're,
I guess, yeah.
Yeah, I you know, I think sometimes when you're mad with, when you fight with friends, you're not necessarily always mad about the action. You're just usually mad, you're just mad about the way they went about it. That's I think true to life. And keep in mind, they're like all rich 16-year-olds.
Yeah.
I don't know how, do you know how rich 16-year-olds act? I don't.
No, I don't either.
I'm not rich.
I'm just gonna assume that they all take part in these elaborate fashion shows that like apparently exist. I mean, the quality of that fashion show was wowza. And it took place during the day in some seemingly random building.
That's true to life. That's real life though. Fashion Week, I don't think it was Fashion Week though, but Fashion
Week.
They are all during the day and they do happen in like these elaborate like empty warehouses, not usually in Manhattan. They're usually in Brooklyn,
but
though.
They construct like these fake houses, and then she like lights a match, and then it bursts into flames behind her. Like the production level of this fashion show was just crazy to me. But I guess, you know, I don't follow fashion like that, so
fantasy. And you'd be surprised at some of this. I mean, I want to say that one of Kanye West's shows had like a helicopter drop in.
Yeah, it's crazy because I think the first Gossip Girl was very fantastical, all about fantasy, but there was also a believability to it. And there was also like, you know, the narrative was moving at a pretty decent pace that you were able to actually like sympathize and understand everything. This show completely fails on those two things.
I agree with you here, right? I think, and this is where the network that you're on is what matters. HBO, HBO Max, they're allowed to do a lot more, right? Because it's on HBO Max, they don't even have to like, I mean, even if it was on HBO, they don't have to like listen to like the TV rating system.
Yeah.
That's just, you do that. It's a honor code. But because it's on HBO Max, that's even more Wild Wild West. That's streaming shit, right?
Absolutely.
They can do whatever they want. So it gives the creators much more liberty in what they can show. And they think that me seeing a girl try to give a rim job to a 16-year-old boy is what I want to see. It's not what I want to see.
Yeah, even if this is what kids are doing, I don't want to fucking see that.
I don't. So this is where the ick factor comes. And also then, I mean, the girl who's playing Zoya, she's so... first of all, the cast is beautiful. I think the female cast here is like gorgeous. I mean, Julianne, that we'll talk about face and even her Julianne has like not bald. It's like a buzz cut hair, which I was just like, what an interesting choice for the it girl to have. And I'm like here for it. Yeah. But Zoya is so beautiful. But then you see Zoya like walking around like these slinky dresses and just like, well, she's supposed to be playing 14. Like what 14 year old looks like that? Yeah, like talk about giving body dysmorphia issues to like kids, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That's just that's the thing. Yeah, it's a very diverse cast, but none of them have of like an average BMI. You know?
Oh no. But rich, I feel like rich people try not to. But back to my point. Where you can do whatever you want on HBO Max, that becomes a hindrance. That becomes almost a problem.
I agree.
When you end up relying on that kind of, I'm going to shock you into like enjoying this shit. And I remember telling Eddie when I was watching the episode, I was like, wow, they really went above and beyond showing me the excess of the millions. And I was just like, the definition of excess also skyrocketed after the dawn of social media when we're posting all our shit, right? Excess has gone to a point where, like, you remember Baz Luhrmann's Gatsby movie?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that shit was not obviously how they lived in the Great Gatsby time, the 1920s, but that's the kind of shit that we're seeing now in real life, like that kind of excess. And this show is trying to show that, but is doing it in such a way that's kind of hokey. And is doing it in a way that just like the original Gossip Girl didn't have to, because they had a small budget, so they had to rely on their soap operatic writing to kind of get across all the things that they tried to get across. You know what I mean? Yeah. They had a limited budget and they worked the best they can here. This show has a bigger budget and they're using it on set pieces. They're using it on some of the fashion. But on some level, you start feeling, me as an audience member, you start feeling a disconnect with some of these characters because of it.
Yeah.
But I'm glad you brought up the diversity here, because that's one of the things I think this show gets not right. I don't know how the elite living is in New York City, but I cannot imagine is it this diverse. Mm-hmm. But like, this cast is so fucking diverse. We have a ethically ambiguous main character. We have a black secondary character. We have an Asian presenting boyfriend. Actually, that might be the extent of it, but that feels like a lot.
Most of the other of them, the others are white.
Compared to, no, but then you also have
not Luna.
I don't know. Luna might be, she's one of those, like, I don't know what she, I don't know what her, how she identifies. But you also see representation ambiguous, though, in sexual fluidity, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They're not all straight. Actually, I would say, I'm going to go on and say, like, they're all probably mostly pan. specifically Aki and Max.
Aki, Max, and I guess Aubrey's onto boys, but I would say those are the only ones that...
No. One of the other side girls was like, is always making out with a chick in the background.
Oh, yeah.
See? The one who does PR. So, you know, they're really going out of their way to show diversity. But you remember how I complained something like, oh, sometimes I get diversity for the sake of diversity. Here, the casting, I can make that argument. It's just like diversity for the sake of diversity, but not in the gender fluidity and the sexuality here, right? That spectrum part of the show, they're actually presenting in a way that's like organic to the show. And I kind of will praise it. So you didn't see episode 3, but we meet Max's parents. They're both gay. One of them, I suspect, is actually transitioning.
Okay.
And that's kind of causing issues between the two fathers.
I see.
Right? And then, of course, as you're right, the show is all about scheming and plotting. Max decides to create a Grindr account with one of the hot teachers and try to, like, catch his father, like, stepping out on his other dad, causing, like, a big turmoil. Using Scruff accounts, yeah. Meanwhile, Aki is also using Scruff because, you know, he is he's moving away. So anyway, I will praise the show on that sense.
Okay.
But no, if I had to be honest, like, yeah, this show is crazy. It's like stupidly unbelievable. It's absolutely showing me the excess. And again, same problem. I think even like to an exponential level raised is showing me the excess and the problem with like wealth and teenagers, but not criticizing it.
No, absolutely. I would say that This is probably one of my least favorite things we've covered in a while.
Oh, I did not say that. I'm not going to say that.
No, I'm saying that. I definitely, yeah, I think that it definitely just indulges a little too much in a lot of things that are either unnecessary or just way too glamorizing for the sake of being glamorizing and not enjoyable. And I predict that this will not return for a season two. And hopefully it just like goes away and we can forget about it.
Interesting that you should say that. So that actually brings up a really interesting point, because I think ratings wise, let's see, hang on. Let me just check something.
Well, I know that it's not getting a lot of people do not like it. It's not getting, you know, good critical reviews.
It's not getting praise. I wonder why.
Yeah.
But what are
it has ratings? An average rating of 4.9 out of 10.
Gossip Girl. Hang on. 2021. According to who are you getting? Oh, that's IMDb. You can't.
No, Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, Rotten Tomatoes. I see a 38%. I'm actually so sad by those numbers. But what are the critics saying? An ambitious misfire. Gossip Girl stutters more than it struts.
Stranding a stacked cast in a sumptuous sea of rudderless drama. I have the same thing up.
Yeah. Which is accurate. The audience score, though, is 74%, though, and I think that means audiences are loving it. I don't know how accurate the metrics are for social media, like streaming. So I'm not even going to bother looking that up. But yeah, I mean, I'm so sad that you feel that way. I feel the opposite. Like, I am aware this show is stupid, and I'm aware this show is ridiculous. It makes no sense. I'm still gonna watch it because
yeah. No, and this is your thing. This is your genre. This is not my genre.
This is absolutely, you know, my genre. I think this is my genre. So does it compare to the original Gossip Girl? Absolutely fucking not. The original Gossip Girl, at least the first season, the one that I actually watched consistently, that show delivers. It was, you know, the writing not strong, but like it gave me likable characters, except for Chuck. I always hated Chuck. I still don't like Chuck.
He's a scumbag, yeah.
You know, but you know, I mean, Dan Humphries, I think he's such a dreamboat, right? And I think him and Blake Lively's character, Serena, were such a match made in heaven, right? I think they were like the sweetest looking couple, and I was so heartbroken when they broke up because of Michelle Trachtenberg.
Yeah. The only thing that I like about this new one is that Kristen Bell returns to narrate it. It doesn't make sense why she does, technically, right? Because in the first one, we didn't know who Gossip Girl was. So it was perfect for her to be the narrator, you know? But we know that, well, one, we know who the original Gossip Girl was, and we know who this new Gossip Girl is. But at the same time, of course, you're going to give it to Kristen Bell because Kristen Bell's the best.
Well, I think part of that is because the teachers are going out of their way to make sure that they're writing in the same voice. I think that was actually used to great effect, bringing Gossip.
Oh,
bringing
wow.
Kristen
you're
Bell
really
back.
Praising the shit out of this.
I know.
I thought
that made sense. Like, right. Like, why would you use Kristen Bell? Because, you know, Gossip Girl isn't a person. Gossip Girl is an idea. Even the ending of the series finale of the original run kind of alluded to that, that Gossip Girl is more than just Dan Humphries. Gossip Girl is, you know, a being that we, God, the people,
a
give power to.
Entity. Yeah.
Yeah, almost.
that's how you give power to spirits, you know, with energy.
Of course, yeah. Are you aware that there are Gossip Girl-like sites that are real in, like, the real world?
That does not surprise me.
Have you don't indulge and read some of them?
No, I don't.
Oh, I do. Dumois on Instagram is the one that comes to mind, right? Huh. Gays over COVID for the gay guys who, and this was, I think, the elite gay Instagrammers were like really trying to find this guy because he was calling them out on traveling and going to fucking like Cancun on these gay lavish vacations and stuff. And this guy, like, he made it a point to like call these people out and like really, the Gays Over COVID. That's the Instagram account. Gays over COVID. Yeah. Because it's it was critiquing, like I said, gay guys who were just traveling abroad and, like, you know, spreading potential COVID everywhere because, you know, the pandemic doesn't apply to entitled majority white people, you know?
Okay.
And I think and I think for me, that's part of the reason why I also like Gossip Girl. I think there is this show never does a good job of critiquing them, but seeing it though is like kind of so satisfying. I like kind of see, like, it's just like, oh good, I'm glad this happened to you, Julien. Although yeah. I do like Julien, you know.
Yeah, she's all right.
And the last, I had one last question for you.
Okay.
Do you think that knowing who the Gossip Girl is works for or against the new show?
Well, so knowing who it is in terms of the story and in terms of, you know, what I already said about the teachers, in that regard, no. But knowing just simply there's no longer this mystique around who Gossip Girl is, I think that that was a smart thing to do, because, mm-hmm. you know, that was what worked about the allure about the first one. You can't duplicate that, and you right. shouldn't even try. So I think that was a good call. I just don't like this show.
yeah. No, that's fair. That's fair. Part of me did wish that they just rebooted the series, and if they had just taken this beautiful cast and just made them, you know, Serena, Blair.
Yeah, and put it back in 2004 and give them all those flip phones and stuff, you know?
No, like, actually, use social media to your advantage on this one. I think then you would have had a better show, but I still watch the shit out of this.
I don't know. I feel like this is more of like a 2000s, not like 2020 show, you know?
No, but like I said, these like actual social media accounts that are calling out like elites.
No, I know, but I think it would work better as an early 2000s thing, personally. I think also maybe that's why I didn't like it. I just feel like it doesn't work so much in this day and age. I don't know. There's so many accounts out there. Would this really have all of their attention? And would it really, like, you know, make them what they think the intention is, which is scared? You know, like, would that work?
Dumois does.
I don't know what that is. So.
You know? I don't know.
I'm not a high schooler, so.
What do you guys think? You tell us. Am I missing the mark here? Am I giving this show too much credit? Did you enjoy the original Gossip Girl when it came out? Let us know. Yeah. Nicole, where can people hit us up?
I would just also recommend that you guys skip this one. So they can email us. In order to answer these questions, you would have to watch the new one, and you shouldn't do that. You can watch the original. The original is fine. Email us. remakesrebootsrevivals@gmail.com. We're active on Instagram @remakesrebootsrevivals, facebook.com/remakesrebootsrevivals, Twitter @remakespodcast. And please, if you enjoy this show, give us a 5-star rating on Apple iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. You know, just help spread the word however you can. Ratings is great. Sharing it with friends is also great. Or leaving us a voicemail that we might possibly play on the show would also be great. And what is that voicemail number, Rolando?
That's right. You guys can call us and leave us your tips, like in Gossip Girl. That number is 862-248-2326. That's 862-248-2326. Give us a ring and leave a voicemail.
Yeah. Did Gossip Girl have a sign-off or no?
Yeah.
XOXO
Gossip Girl.
Okay.
Well. Or the other one that she also had was like, you know you love me, Gossip Girl.
Well, you know you love us. And until next time,
stay an original.
XOXO.
Gossip Girl.